In the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning, we're going to be looking at the last words of Jesus with his disciples. Those words are found in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And we read all of those, that entire passage in this class. And today we're going to concentrate on those words from John 14, 1 through 17. We're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March 14th, 1926. Before we do, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, as is common with old Elam's lessons, we begin with helps and hints for the teachers. And these helps and hints read, this lesson, the rest of John 14, and chapters 15 and 16 contain the most interesting and profoundly important conversation Jesus had with his apostles after instituting the Lord's Supper and before his prayer, recorded in John 17. In this conversation, Jesus very tenderly told his apostles why he was leaving them and of the many mansions in his Father's house, encouraged them to continue to believe on him, although he would be taken away from them, promised them another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, and told what the Spirit would do for them and also for the world. He begins in John 14 in verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. The announcement made by Jesus that one would betray him and all would forsake him and Peter would deny him and he would depart from them, this caused great sorrow to the apostles. With the betrayal, the arrest, the mock trial, the cruel scourging, and the cross before him, Jesus here speaks not of his own sorrow, but seeks to control, to console his disciples. Frequently, in this conversation, Jesus spoke of the trouble and sorrows of the apostles. He said to them that while they were then sorrowful, they would weep and lament, and those who killed them would think such persecution was God's service. Yet their sorrow would be turned into joy, which no man could take away. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus knew on account of his death, the apostles would lose hope. The following expression shows that they did. But we'd hope that it was he who should redeem Israel, Luke 24 and verse 21. This hope began to fail on the night of this lesson, hence the encouragement given here. Since the apostles would still believe in God, when Jesus had been taken from them and killed, they should still believe in him also. They should walk by faith. This was from God and for their good and for the salvation of the race. He was in the Father, and the Father in him, and believing in God, they should believe in him. Leaving them, he would go to the Father. Jesus foretold these things, that when they should come to pass, the faith of the apostles might not be shaken. He says in John 14 in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. God's house is heaven. There is the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, Hebrews 11:10. This is the new Jerusalem John saw coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. When this takes place, the tabernacle of God will be with men, and he will be their God, and they will be his people. The city needs no sun, nor moon, nor stars to give it light. The sun, moon, and stars will all pass away with the present heaven and earth. The light of this city is the glory of God and of the Lamb. There is no night there, because God and the Lamb are always there, and they are its light. The gates stand always open to receive the redeemed, but nothing unclean or abominable or that loves and makes a lie can enter. Revelation 21:9-27. The redeemed of all nations will inhabit it. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, Paul says, "For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." The earthly house of our tabernacle, of which Paul spake, is this body of flesh that we now have. But we have a building from God. The word mansions, where it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions," means dwelling places. You can see this in the margin of the American Standard Version. And he said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus had told the apostles the truth, that he must suffer, die, and rise from the dead, that he must go away. Had it been otherwise, he would have told them. But his going away was for their good. "For I go to prepare a place for you," he said. The sacrifice of Jesus provides the way of salvation. He is, according to verse 6, the way, the truth, and the life. But he also prepares the place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. There will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness will dwell. 2 Peter 3:13. And we read in John chapter 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." "I come again," Jesus said. The separation they were about to endure would not last forever. "That where I am, there ye may be also." This return was not the resurrection of Jesus, but his second coming. Christians joyfully expect Christ to come from heaven. To this end, Jesus prayed for his disciples, "Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. Where I am, there I may behold my glory that thou hast given me, that they may behold my glory thou hast given me." John 17:24. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man will serve me, him will the Father honor." John 12:26. "All preachers of the gospel whom I have heard and all who have been taught the word of God by pen have preached and taught the second coming of Christ. All who have preached and taught the gospel since Christ ascended from the earth have preached and taught the same. If preachers do not preach and teach that, they do not teach the gospel. But preachers who preach and teach the particular time when Christ is coming, preach and teach more than the gospel, and more than that which Jesus says he and even the angels know." Matthew 24:26. "Not only does no one know the day nor the hour when Christ will come, but according to Mark 13:33 and Luke 12:37-40 and many other passages, his coming will be sudden. And there's only one way of salvation. Let me read this to you. John 14, verses 5 through 6. It says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How know we the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him, and hath seen him. Whither shall I go? Ye know the way, Jesus told the apostles plainly after his departure where he was going. But Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. No, we know not the way. These declarations were not clear to Thomas, but he sought to understand them. In reply, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was going to the Father, and to all men he is the only way to the Father. Although soon to be killed and buried, he is the only way to God. Strange as it seemed to the apostles, the death of Jesus was the only way to destroy Satan, abolish death, and bring, as we read in 2 Timothy 1:10, life and immortality to light through the gospel. He is the truth, the revelation of God to men, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He is full of grace and truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, John 1:14 and 17. Christ's teachings is the only true teaching, for his teaching is God's teaching, John 17:16. John 12:49 through 50. The words which God gave him, he gave to the apostles, John 17:8, and sent them into the world to teach the same to all nations. The world can receive the truth of God only through Jesus Christ. He is the life. Through him were all things made. In him was life. And the life was the light of man, John chapter 1. Jesus states this as follows, For the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he the Son to have life in himself, John 5:26. God is the source of all life, and Jesus is the Son of God. The world was with God, and the world was God, John 1:1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Again, Jesus says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. There is no spiritual life out of Christ. And this life eternal that they should know thee, the only true God, in him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ, John 17:3. Not to accept Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God and the only begotten of the Father, John 1:14, as no other one in heaven or on earth is the Son of God, is to reject eternal life. He only hath immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. Hence Jesus says in this verse of the lesson, No one cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way to reach God, and is no other way is there salvation. Neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. We're going to continue this in our next class. And we'll look at the remaining from John chapter 14, beginning in verse 7 and going down through verse 17. And we look at these last words of Jesus and his disciples. He's going to explain to them that the Father and I are one, and that my work now is in heaven, and why the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit.